Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. The Hunger Code Resetting Your Body Fat Thermostat in the Age of Ultra-Processed Food is a health and nutrition book by Dr. Proc Jason Fung, a nephrologist known for the obesity code and his work on fasting, insulin, obesity, and metabolic disease. The book extends his earlier argument that long-term weight control cannot be explained by simple calorie arithmetic or personal discipline alone. Its central purpose is to examine why people become hungry, why modern food environments intensify that hunger, and why weight often returns after dieting or medication unless the underlying drivers are addressed. Fung frames obesity as a problem shaped by hormones, appetite regulation, food design, learned behavior, and social cues. He introduces the body fat thermostat as a way to explain why the body defends a certain level of stored fat. The book is positioned as a practical, science-based guide for readers seeking sustainable weight management in an era of ultra-processed foods and GLP-1 drugs. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the body fat thermostat reframes weight gain as regulated biology rather than weak discipline. A central idea in the Hunger Code is that the body behaves as if it has an internal fat thermostat, a regulated range of body fat that it tries to defend through hunger, satiety, metabolism, and energy use. This framework helps explain why many people regain weight after dieting. If the body perceives a lower weight as a threat, it can respond by increasing hunger and reducing energy expenditure, making continued restriction harder over time. Fung uses this concept to challenge the assumption that weight loss is mainly a matter of choosing fewer calories. In his view, calorie intake still matters, but it is downstream from hormonal and metabolic signals that influence how hungry a person feels and how the body partitions energy. The thermostat metaphor is useful because it shifts attention from isolated meals to the system that regulates appetite and storage. It also explains why short-term fixes, including strict diets or medications used without broader behavioral change, may not produce durable results. The practical implication is that sustainable weight loss requires lowering the defended fat level, not merely forcing intake below expenditure for a few weeks. Secondly, three forms of hunger explain why eating is often disconnected from energy need. Fung distinguishes among physical, emotional, and social hunger, often aligned with homeostatic, hedonic, and conditioned hunger. Physical hunger reflects biological need and is shaped by hormones, nutrient availability, and the timing of meals. Emotional or hedonic hunger is tied to reward, pleasure, stress relief, and the desire for highly palatable foods, even when the body has enough stored energy. Social or conditioned hunger arises from cues such as location, routine, other people eating, advertising, celebrations, or the learned association between certain activities and snacks. This classification is important because each type requires a different response. Eating a satisfying whole food meal may help physical hunger, but it may not solve a cue-driven habit of eating while watching television. Likewise, stress-related eating cannot be fully addressed by nutrition rules alone. The framework also reduces moral blame by showing that hunger is not a single sensation that can always be overcome by willpower. By separating the sources of hunger, the book gives readers a more precise way to diagnose why they eat and to choose interventions that match the actual trigger. Thirdly, ultra-processed foods disrupt appetite by combining rapid absorption with engineered reward. The Hunger Code places ultra-processed foods at the center of the modern hunger problem. Fung argues that these foods are not merely convenient versions of traditional foods. They are often structurally designed to be rapidly consumed, quickly digested, intensely rewarding, and weakly satiating. Their combination of refined starches, added sugars, industrial fats, flavor enhancers, soft textures, and constant availability can affect both hormonal signals and reward pathways. This matters because hunger is not only a response to energy shortage. A food can deliver many calories while leaving satiety signals relatively weak, encouraging repeated intake. Fung also links ultra-processed foods to frequent insulin stimulation, which in his broader metabolic framework favors fat storage and makes stored energy less accessible. The book, therefore, treats reducing ultra-processed food as a foundational step, rather than a minor dietary preference. The reasoning is concrete. If a food product increases reward, shortens eating time, weakens fullness, and encourages repetition, then relying on discipline alone is unrealistic. Replacing it with less processed, slower digesting foods changes the biological and behavioral conditions that create overeating. Fourthly, insulin and meal timing are presented as practical levers for lowering stored fat pressure, consistent with Fung's earlier work. The Hunger Code gives insulin a major role in explaining fat storage, hunger, and weight regain. Insulin helps move energy into storage after eating, and chronically elevated insulin is presented as a signal that can keep the body biased towards storing rather than releasing fat. The book does not treat fasting as the only solution, but it does frame periods without food as one way to reduce repeated insulin stimulation and allow the body to access stored energy. This is why meal timing, snacking frequency, and fasting windows matter in Feng's approach. The point is not simply to skip meals to reduce calories, but to create metabolic intervals in which insulin can fall. The book also emphasizes that different foods can produce different hormonal responses even when their calorie counts are similar, so the timing and composition of meals interact. This topic distinguishes Feng's method from conventional calorie tracking. Instead of asking only how much was eaten, it asks what the food did hormonally, how often the body was asked to store energy, and whether hunger decreased or intensified afterward. Lastly, environmental redesign turns weight control from constant restraint into default behavior. A practical strength of the hunger code is its attention to environment, habit, and social pressure. Feng argues that people often overestimate deliberate choice and underestimate how strongly surroundings shape eating. Food kept within sight, snacks linked to screen time, workplace treats, family routines, restaurant portions, and social expectations can all trigger conditioned hunger. This makes weight management difficult if the strategy depends on repeatedly resisting cues in an unchanged environment. The book, therefore, recommends redesigning daily life so that healthier choices require less effort and automatic eating becomes less likely. This can include removing ultra-processed foods from the home, creating clearer meal boundaries, planning eating occasions, changing cue-rich routines, and building social support around new habits. The broader reasoning is behavioral, rather than purely nutritional. If hunger can be learned through repeated associations, it can also be weakened by changing cues and responses. Feng's three golden rules and many practical tips appear to serve this purpose by translating metabolic ideas into ordinary decisions. The result is a framework where sustainable change comes from altering the system around eating, not from relying on permanent self-control. In conclusion, the Hunger Code is best suited for readers who have struggled with repeated dieting, weight regain, constant hunger, or confusion about why calorie-focused plans often feel unsustainable. It will also interest clinicians, coaches, and health readers who want a framework connecting appetite, hormones, food processing, fasting, and behavioral cues. Its practical benefit is that it gives readers categories for identifying different hunger triggers and choosing more targeted responses, rather than treating every urge to eat as the same problem. Intellectually, it offers a coherent argument that obesity is shaped by regulated biology and modern food environments, not simply by poor discipline. Compared with many diet books, its distinguishing feature is the combination of the body fat thermostat idea with the three hunger model. It is not only a fasting manual, although fasting remains part of Feng's toolkit, and it is not only an anti-processed food argument. Its broader contribution is to link food design, insulin, reward, social conditioning, and habit formation into one explanation of why hunger becomes excessive. But readers seeking detailed, individualized medical protocols may need additional professional guidance, especially if using medications or managing disease. As a category entry, the book stands out by making appetite regulation the main subject, rather than treating hunger as a side effect of dieting. If you would like to support Dr. Jason Feng, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.